again regarding the life of Moses. Amen. The life of Moses, if you're here for the first time, second time, you've been here a few times, we welcome you here this morning. And all I ask is that you use your ears. That's it. No commitment. Just use your ears. That's all I'm asking for. I'm going to be speaking on the life of Moses. I spoke the last few services that they were in Egypt, just like we were. Amen. Up in the mix. And the Bible says they had been up in the mix over 400 years. It was a way of life. From generation to generation, and what was taking place in Egypt with the people of God. Amen. And finally, the Lord heard their cries, and he calls out a man called Moses at the age of 80. The Bible records that he was hanging out, just like I was hanging out in that cell when the Lord got caught up with me. Amen. I wasn't looking for the Lord. I always thought that was for weak people. But it's much more harder being a man of God than being in a street corner, amen? Anybody can do that. But to change and allow your life to be changed and allow your life to be used, that calls for growth, amen? So we find out that Moses didn't know who he was, but yet God called him. Amen? He didn't know who God was, but yet God called him. And the story goes on to say that through the help of God, tell your neighbor, through the help of God, he was able to pull off what God had called them to do. In the setting free of 2 to 0.3 million people out of bondage, out of Egypt. And we all have a past Egypt. It might be different Egypts. You might have been a this, you might have been a this or a that, whatever it might have been, but we all needed to be saved. There's not a one of us here breathing this morning that didn't need help at one time or another. And we thought our help came from that homeboy or that homegirl, but the truth is that it was God using that homeboy or that homegirl to reach out to you. And maybe hard circumstances. I know that's what it took with me. So here we find out that they get set free out of bondage, as many of us have. And the Bible says that the Lord set them out into the desert on the way to the promised land. Amen? And the Bible says 3 days up in the walk, up in the journey, up in the mix, they started complaining. They started complaining because things were already going wrong in the desert. They were complaining so much that they said, man, I wish I would have just stayed in Egypt. I knew I was going to be walking some dry desert that don't even have water. So they started thinking about Egypt again. And a lot of times when things do not go our way, it's real easy to get caught up in that old thinking and want to go back to Egypt as if that lifestyle worked. So here they were complaining. Before I came out here, I wrote a note on top of my message. I'm going to give you the title first. The title of this morning's message is What You Need. Revelation. That's the title of this morning's message. What You Need. Revelation. And here, God had his people that were set free. They were out of bondage. For some of us, out of addiction. Whatever was holding us down, we were out of it. Amen. And we were on our way to the promised land. First time I came out of the pen, I said, I'm never going back to that place. A few months later, I was back. Because I continued to operate what got me into prison the very first time. The only thing that changed was my verbiage. What I was saying was, I'm never going back, but my actions were still one of Egypt, of the old man. And that takes place within the church also. Because hard times will come. We're walking good, talking good. Amen. We're headed towards the promises that God has for our lives. And then hard times come. Tragedy takes place. And because we're in the process, in the beginning process, there's still more of Egypt in us than there is of the Lord. So when hard times come, it's easy to want to go back to Egypt and handle business as usual. Because it's all we know. It was the bondage, that's all we knew. I knew it from high school, slinging dope all the way through my adult years of life. It's all I knew. I never had a real job. Amen? It's all I knew. First time I came out of prison, I just said, man, I'm just not going to use no more. I'm just going to sling. I'm going to have money, but I ain't going to use no more. Well, that worked for a minute. Amen? Started slinging. Before you know it, I was using again. And a lot of times we can make verbal promises that we don't keep with one another, or we can make verbal promises to the Lord that we don't keep. And as I was thinking before I came out of my office this morning, I really believe the Lord has a word for you today. Amen. I was telling the leadership at the 7:30 meeting this morning that it's a prophetic word. What does that mean, Pastor? It just sounds good, amen. It just means that God gave it to me for you today. It's from God. It's not from this man right here. I want you to get your mentality shift right now to what you're hearing right now is not from me. I was moving fast, going nowhere, going straight to hell. The words that you are hearing right now are not from my life. But the new life I have now in Christ, 20 years and strong. It's the Lord speaking to you right now. And I believe that there's some of you that this day you're going to have to take heed. Heed's another fancy word, amen, that you're going to have to not just hear, but put into action, put into practice. And what the Lord is giving you today. Amen? There's one thing to get let out. It's another thing to stay out. The Lord gave me a thought here before I came out. And this was taking place with the Israelites, the people of God. I put here, they were set free out of Egypt. They were in the desert in a process of change. I put here, God wanted to do something new. But his people wanted a Egypt-minded God. And that's why they were complaining. They were used to how things ran in Egypt. So now God's doing something new. He takes them out of Egypt, took them out of bondage. There are 2 or 3 million of them are walking through the desert. But even though they were free, they were still thinking like Egypt. And when the Lord was doing something new that they knew nothing about, they started to complain because they didn't know or understand the plan of God and who God was. They wanted an Egypt-minded God. They wanted a God to speak to them the way they wanted to speak to. They wanted a God that would give them what they wanted, not what they needed. And here this day, the preaching of the gospel of Jesus is going to give you what you need, not what you want. And a lot of times when we don't get what we want, it's very easy to complain. I'm going back to Egypt. I was treated better like that in Egypt. That's a lie. You find out who your homeboys are when things take place. You find out who your friends are when things take place. As we get into scripture here this day, we go to the book of Exodus, chapter 16. Want everybody paying attention, because this word that's going forth today is a word for today. No para mañana, para hoy. Amen. For today. Exodus 16, verse 11 through 21. They're complaining. They're set free, but they're complaining. Amen. They're out of their familiar way of getting down and operating. They're out of Egypt. They're in a desert, and they're in an unfamiliar place, and they don't know how to act. So sometimes when we can't understand what's taking place in our lives and it's not going our way, we sometimes don't know how to act. I got out of prison on a Saturday. On Sunday, I was in the church house, amen, posted up in the back with a pack of smokes, checking out all the girls, amen. I was fresh out of prison. Tell your neighbor that was over 20 years ago. That wasn't last week or last month, amen. I didn't understand what was taking place in the church. I didn't understand this and people doing this and all this weird stuff. It made no sense to me, because that's not the way I lived for so many years in my life of bondage. It was something that was so new that it was weird. I've never been there before. I've never been that far in the Lord. And in Salinas, California, the church I got sent out from, amen, there was about 300 people, and there were all ex-gangsters in there, all SA guys. There was Norteños and Soreños in the church, all tacked back, broken, and lifting their hands to the Lord. And I says, man, those look like the cats I was walking with in the yard. I knew some of them were for real on the yard. I says, man, they're being for real now in the house of God. Hallelujah. Usually sometimes that don't follow code, amen? I was in a strange place. People were doing things I hadn't seen before. I was raised a Catholic when I was brought up, and you were taught, shh, cállate, not to make noise. My mom would always do that when I would just try to whisper. We were taught to be quiet. It was a place of respect. Couldn't wear a cap, couldn't chew gum, couldn't talk. Amen? That was the church I grew up in. Then I come to Victor Outreach, everybody's jumping around, running around the place, and these people are crazy. They got more problems than I do. This ain't gonna help. I just didn't understand what was taking place, what changed the rest of my life. Then the Lord said to Moses, I have heard the Israelites' complaints. That was his people, amen. Now tell them, in the evening you will have meat to eat. They were complaining about water. They were complaining that they didn't have no food to eat in the desert, amen. And in the morning you will have all the bread you want. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. He was trying to do something new. That evening, vast numbers of quail flew in and covered the camp. And the next morning, the area around the camp was wet with dew. When the dew evaporated, a flaky substance, as fine as frost, blanketed the ground. The Israelites were puzzled. This is what they call manna. Amen. It was the bread of God. It was God's provision. Amen. The Israelites were puzzled, just like I was, when they saw it. What is it? Question mark. They didn't know. They were puzzled, and they asked, what is it? Just like when I walked into the church house. What's going on in here? What is this, man? I was puzzled. I was confused. As I was checking out the girls, I was still puzzled and confused. Just, it didn't feel right. Something was different. What is it? They asked each other. I want you to hold that thought. And this one. They had no idea what it was. There's some of you here this day that don't have an idea yet in what the Lord has for your life. And the Bible goes on to say, and Moses told them, it is the food the Lord has given you to eat. These are the Lord's instructions. Each household, we're talking about the household now, the family, that is deteriorating in the south side, north side, east side, west side of Milwaukee. The enemy is having victory in the households within our families. So it was instructions that he was giving to the families, to the households. And I believe it's instructions for today, for our families. Each house should gather as much as it needs. Pick up 2 quarts for each person in your tent. So the people of Israel did as they were told. Some gathered a lot, some only a little. But when they measured it out, everyone had just enough. Those who gathered a lot had nothing left over. And those who gathered only a little had enough. Each family had just what it needed. I want you to remember that word. Each family had just what it needed. Question here this morning. Does your family right now currently have what it needs in answering the call of God? 19. Then Moses told them, do not keep any of it until tomorrow. But some of them didn't listen and kept some of it until morning. But by then it was full of maggots. That's why I'm saying someone's going to have to act today, amen? But by then, by morning, by the next day, in other words, but by then it was full of maggots and had a terrible smell. Moses was very angry with them. After this, the people gathered the food morning by morning. I don't think nobody liked this, what it smelled like and looked like, amen? The Bible in 21 says, after this, for those that didn't listen, after this, the people gathered the food morning by morning, each family according to its need. There's that, each family according to its need. As the sun became hot, the flakes they had not picked up melted and disappeared. Somebody's saying, I didn't understand none of that, Pastor. Well, now it's time to break it down. Amen? Amen. In verse 14 and 15, the Bible reads, go to 15. The Israelites were puzzled when they saw it. They were already complaining. Now they're puzzled on top of complaining, amen? When they saw it, they said, what is it? They asked each other. They had no idea what it was. Not a one of them had no idea what it was. I believe Joshua and Caleb was in that crew right there. They were so young in their walk with the Lord that they didn't know what it was. God, because God was doing something new. It's okay to be new and not understand what God wants from your life. Because he's doing something new. You haven't been here before. This just ain't the way you do things. Amen? So the Bible says they did not know what the bread was, that the Lord had given all of them to eat. He was trying to shift their mentality from the way Egypt fed them. Now he wanted to become their source. Here this morning, the Lord wants to be the source for your family. He wanted to be their source, and by being their source, their provision, He would have to come with something new that didn't look like what the world was serving. Like, didn't look what the world had to offer. See, I needed something so brand new to take place in my life, because every time I try to get it right, I would get caught slipping. Because what I was trying to do right still looked just like the world, and it would deceive me over and over and over from ever getting it right. And here God was coming with something new that had never been seen before. And he wanted, even though they didn't know what it was, that he wanted them to eat it. Tell your neighbor, you got to eat it, man. Tell your neighbor, you are what you eat. How many eat junk food? Every last one of you, raise your hands. Oh, I hate McDonald's. You go to McDonald's, oh, I hate Taco Bell. You go to Taco Bell all the time. Because we're always running fast. We're always late. Pizza, ordering this and that. How many know, even in the physical, what you eat is what you are? How many need to start eating healthy? I know I do. And we make promises when we're going to start and what we're going to eat. And we talk about it. We make a few calls. And, man, I'm starting tomorrow. The Lord wants you to start today. But we know that if we eat healthy, we get results, right? Quick results if we eat healthy. But it takes discipline. Here, the word of the Lord was telling them to eat it, even though they didn't know what was taking place. They were in a spirit of complaining. Amen. They were confused. They didn't know what it was. And then the Lord tells them, eat it. I don't know about you, man, but I'm picky when it comes to eating. That picky, but now if I go to a restaurant, I like something there, I get the same thing every time I go there. My wife will get all these different, she tries all these different things, right? Then I pick a little food off her plate in case it's good, right? But I stick to what I know I'm going to like. I don't like being disappointed. So I'm OG and I stick to what I like. And how many know that just as there's healthy food for your body and bad food for your body, there's healthy promises and bad promises. Spiritually speaking, your friend, a homeboy, your spouse made a promise to you that they didn't keep. Your boyfriend, your girlfriend made a promise to you that they didn't keep. Those are bad promises. But then there's the promises of the Lord that you can bank on, you can stand on, you can speak on, you can live on, that are true, that will never let you down. So in the physical and the spiritual, it's important what we let in our life. It's very important. But I'm speaking in the spiritual right now. After this, I'm going to go pig out. Amen? Praise the Lord. What I eat in the flesh is going to be my dessert. But this is the filet mignon you're getting right now. Amen? It's what you need. Here, God knew that they were complaining, that they were in uncharted territory. They weren't in their stomping grounds, and they just weren't feeling it. And then God lays some food down on them that they didn't know what it was. Here I put, God knew if his people were going to make it in the promised land, that they would need to know his promises first. It's a simple one, but it's a goodie. God knew if his people were going to make it in the promised land, what he had for them, that they would need to know his promises first, his instructions, his word. How many know I put here that the Bible can be hard to understand at times? It's like reading a Japanese book. It's in English, though. Got these crazy names in there that makes us all feel dumber already than we are. I was like, man, this book ain't for me, man. Big old long names. Why did God do that? To humble us. You can be educated and not know how to pronounce them names. I put here, let's keep it real, almost all the time. The Bible's hard to understand. That's why many have one, but never take the time to understand it. I put here, not reading your Bible really means never getting to know Jesus. It don't mean you don't understand it. Not reading your Bible don't mean you don't understand it. It means you never will get to know who Jesus is. For Scripture says that the Word was God and God was the Word. To know God, you got to know His Word. To be obedient, you need to know His instructions. In verse 15, they said, "What is it?" They asked each other. They had no idea what it was. It was the bread of life. God was making a transition within their thinking, within their hearts. He knew they could not ever make it to the promised land based on the thinking of Egypt, based on what they were going to drink, what they were going to eat. As a new convert, I put here, it will always be hard to understand God's word. That's the truth. But what about being saved for many years and still not understanding God's word? Do you not think that God wants you to understand His language? Unto you, His love language unto you, His love language unto this world that's lost and bound. And the answer is yes. Whether you're educated or not educated, if you stay reading His word, even if you get confused, mad at times, I'm speaking about myself right now, for 10, 12 years later, and still getting nothing, living on commentaries, living on books, living on somebody else's experiences with God, but I never had my own. And I thought it wasn't fair of God, especially when I would study all week just for one message, pull all-nighters, burn the midnight oil to copy commentaries. Never even reading the word, just going straight to the commentary. Give me the answers. Give me the answers. I need to preach. Tomorrow is Sunday. And I remember, for those that have been with me for a while now, I preached so much Greek and Hebrew, making it look like I knew what I was talking about. Because I didn't know what I was talking about. But I knew what God had done in my life. I just couldn't convey it yet. I couldn't get his discernment and the way he wanted to convey to you guys when he couldn't even convey to me. But I stayed with it. I kept pulling the midnight oil. I would start studying from the morning all night, all through the night, all the way till 4, till 5 in the morning. I would jump in the shower, suit up, boot up, and go to the church. No sleep. At least today I got 2 hours of sleep right now. I'm walking on, preaching on. Amen? The Bible reads in verse 18 that everyone had just enough. You got to remember that there was 2 to 3 million people. There was a lot of mouths to feed. Burger King couldn't have pulled that one off as fast as they are. The Country Buffet couldn't have pulled that one off. In the feeding of 2 to 3 million people in the natural, more or less in the supernatural, the Bible records that everyone had just, but when they measured it out, the Bible reads that everyone had just enough. God knew which every one of those 2 to 3 million people, what each family needed, and he did the division amongst 2 to 3 million people with the manna he set before them, where everyone got just enough. They got what they needed. God wanted to be their provider. God wanted to be their source. God knows exactly what you need here this morning. He's more than enough for your life. But are you eating his word? Are you taking in his word? Are you spending time with the Lord to have enough of what he has for your life? And I believe a lot of times we're in lack because we're not partaking in what the Lord has for our lives. We're malnourished. We have no problem in gaining weight in the natural. But we have problems gaining weight in the supernatural. Why? One, you can do in the natural. The other one, you need to be in spirit. And God knew where they were, and God knows where you are at this morning, along with myself. The Bible records in verse 18 that those who gathered a lot had nothing left over. It was still, there was no leftovers. Sometimes when we're cooking for 80 people or 20 people, you know, I always say, cook more, and there's all these leftovers. Send it to the rehab. But can you imagine catering for 2 to 3 million people and giving everybody just enough, no leftovers on that day. No, nothing needed to be washed. The trash didn't need to be thrown out. Rehab didn't have to get called and come and pick up the leftovers. Man, lately they ain't got no leftovers up in that place, man. I heard they had yesterday spaghetti and on the side pulled pork. I'm like, what the heck is that? I call that the double up. And I know, I wasn't down there, but I have a Blue's Clue feeling that everyone ate of it. And the men's home says, amen. Amen. But the Lord was asking his people to trust them and to eat. And a lot of times, we don't want to read his word. I believe not one of the guys don't complain, saying this is 2-course meals on this plate. This is a mistake. Take back the spaghetti. Take back the pulled pork. I just want one of those. No one said that. They ate, even though it was a double up. Nobody complained. And they ate the spaghetti and meatballs, I heard, along with pulled pork. And heavens knows what else they had with that. And chocolate cake. The one that said that is the cook, and he's a diabetic. You go figure. Said he had a little piece. You see what I mean? There's some things we don't have to be told twice to eat. Why is it so hard to read God's word? When it can outweigh the best bowl of spaghetti and meatballs, pulled pork. It's the bread of life. Yes. Yes. The best pulled pork, amen, back in Jesus' day, pork was not, it was considered unclean. But now the New Testament, he says, eat of anything. And they took that scripture too. Because it's something that is spiritual, even though it's a natural book with pages like any other. This is a spiritual book. It's the bread of life that God has designed for us to read, to know him, to know the instructions, to be led by him. And to bear fruit to get godly results in our lives. So it says there in 18 that those who gathered a lot had nothing left over. And it goes on to say that those who gathered only a little had enough. I put here whether a family had a lot or a little. The Bible records that every last one of them had enough. God knew where every man, woman, and child within 2 to 3 million people, what each one needed. There was no leftovers. There was no shortage. There was just the right amount, just enough for what they needed for that day. As the Lord now being their source, the one guiding them to the light, was pulling them from the pork of Egypt, amen, the spaghetti and meatballs from Egypt. I believe if the cook tomorrow was to cook some flatbread and just give them some bread, because, man, what's up with this, man? We had spaghetti and meatballs yesterday, pulled pork, and now you're giving us bread? I put here, the Bible reads there at the end of verse 18, that each family had just what it needed. My revelation to that is that there's too many in the what I want. Too many in the what I want instead of what I need. Taking place in the church, taking place in your homes. Too much of what I want instead of what I need. The what I want represents our will. The what I need represents God's will. A lot of times we wonder why God does not answer our prayers, because we're praying prayers unto Him, prayers in what I want, and not in what He wants, not in what we need. Prayers of want. Then my notes goes to the notes on small paper. That's this one. I got these this morning. Amen. So we're going to follow my instructions. It says go to the notes on small paper. Okay. I put here our wants represent our selfishness. Our wants. Pastor, why aren't we doing it like this? Pastor, why aren't we doing it? That's your want. As if I don't know what I'm doing. Our wants represent selfishness. Remember, we're speaking about the family here this day. I put here, our children don't know what they need. Our children do not know what they need unless we show them. If there's adults that don't know what they need, how much more of our children going to know what they need in this life to live in the next life to come in heaven? I put the next one from our wants is our needs. Our needs. Our needs represents God's love, God's will. When you're after God for what you need, not what you want. Our needs represents God's love, a love that can meet our needs. And even our heart's desires, even our wants. Our needs represents God's love, a love that can meet our needs. We're speaking about the family. I put here for us in return to meet the needs of family and the lost and bound. And then my notes went around the bottom because I ran out of room. Through God's word of love. Through God's word of love. I put here, no matter what side of the tracks you grew up on, everyone is getting from God's word this morning what they need. Amen. I put, whether you have a big family or a little family, the Lord is giving you, I put here this morning, what you need. Stop worrying about what she needs or what he needs or what God's got to do in his life or her life. You got to worry about what you need here this morning. Too many times we're so focused on the other person's wrongs that our needs don't get met. We're trying to save everybody, but our needs ain't being met. I put here, whether you have a lot of problems or just a few problems, the Lord's giving you this morning what you need, not what you want. In verse 21, the Bible reads, after this, the people of God gathered the food after they got checked, amen? After this, the people gathered the food morning by morning, each family according to its need. There's many families represented here this morning that have different needs. And God knows which each and every one of those needs are. He does not only know what they are, he's able to meet those many needs that are here this morning. But too many times, we don't know that he's capable of meeting our needs because we don't read. We just go off stuff that we learned a while back ago and we bank on that to keep us for today and tomorrow. No, that was bread for then. Now you need fresh bread. The manna that comes from God. As parents, as leaders, I put here, you need to be able to separate your family's wants from their needs. And only God's word can give you a discernment in this area because it's tricky, it's a gray area. I speak from experience. As parents, as leaders of ministries, you need to be able to see and discern and separate wants from needs for your family and for your ministry. Wants are like, man, I want a new car. I need a car to go to church, pick up people. I want this. I want a better job. I want more money. I want this. Those wants are outer things that we want because it makes us look good. But what we need fills the area within our lives. Than what the man or the woman, at times not even the spouse, can see. And because it's something, our need is something that can be seen, we'll rather have our wants, go after our wants that can be seen to make us look like we got it going on. And because what we need goes unseen, it's within our lives, nobody really knows if we're doing good or bad. Nobody. Somebody knows. I've been around long enough to know more or less where some of you guys are at. And sometimes we feel we're being spiritual, but the truth is we're chasing our wants, the way we see it, the way we want it done. And we don't even realize it, but we're operating with the mind of Egypt, wanting to be in control. Many parents, as well I put here as myself, Many parents, as well as myself, can give into our children's wants instead of into their needs. It's hard being a parent. We want to hook up our kids. But man, sometimes we give them what they want just to shut them up. Just to be done with it, before we can keep on moving on with the day. All right, give it to them, give it to her. Yeah, okay, yes. And we buy this, 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 and it looks like we're providing, but the truth is, we're only catering to their wants, not what they need. There's many parents right now caught in that web, not even knowing it. That's one the enemy don't want to take credit for. He wants to go undetected in that one. And we claim, well, I'm a good parent. I provide for my children. No, you're providing for their wants. And sometimes it's impossible as parents to provide what they need because you ain't got it to give. You ain't got it to give. You might know the recipe, you might know the scripture, you might know the word to give, but you ain't walking it, and they're peeping game. They're watching your conduct, whether you're yelling, fighting, whatever, how you're carrying on. And you're putting scripture on it, Book of Matthew, Book of Mark, or you're going Old Testament. But they can be this high now and discern. Wow, that's the right scripture, Mom. That's the right scripture, Dad. And if it is the right scripture, Mom or Dad, why ain't you walking it yourself? And we scold our kids for not walking something that we ain't modeling. It's easier. Anybody can provide wants. You can be poor and provide wants for your children. You can have a minimum paying job and provide all the wants of your children. But it's time some parents grow up in here and start serving some manna. Some manna that you can show your children that works. Not just where to take them where the manna is served, but showing them and modeling a manna that works when you apply it. We're living in end times right now. Pastor, why can't you give us a beautiful Sunday morning preaching? I am. Amen. I am. I'm giving you a very loving message here this morning. As parents, as well as myself, can give into our children's wants instead into their needs. The Bible reads, morning by morning, scripture says there in verse 21. I put here their needs. There's needs that the Lord wants to meet in our families every morning. Amen? And I put here, and I believe there's some needs that the Lord wants to meet within our families this morning. Can't get very far without this. That's the map, baby. B-I-B-L-E. We always know. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. You don't know where heaven is. You don't know where to make a left. MapQuest can't tell you that. I don't care how smart your phone is. It cannot get you to heaven. On its best day, I don't care how sharp it gets. Technology gets even crazier. That technology called the phone, called the devil, whatever you want to call it, cannot get you to heaven on its best day. Just like this Bible can't get you to heaven unless you apply it. You don't have a monthly bill here. This was $15, I don't know how many months ago, 4 or 5 months ago. I don't have a monthly bill on this. It's the bread of life. It not only gives light to my life and my marriage and my children, but to you guys. It's so powerful that it brings light and direction to the lost and the bound. It brings direction to the promised land. to the calling upon your life. Some of you haven't answered the call yet because you don't know who's calling. You don't know who's calling. You don't know who's calling. Even though when the caller ID says Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you don't pick up the call. Because he might ask you to put some things to an end. He might want to serve you some manna. Pull the pulled pork from you. Pull on pulled pork. What do you mean, man? I'm sitting, I'm giving up the pulled pork. Pull something else. Leave the pulled pork alone. There's some things you guys still want to hold on to that you know is not good for you. I just got to have it. I want it. I just got to have it. No, you don't. You're being selfish. It's one thing for a baby to be selfish that don't know better, but it's another thing for an adult to be selfish that knows better. That's why God told him, eat it. This put in your life. Eat it. It's good for you. Ask Mikey. He'll eat it. And I believe there's some needs that the Lord wants to meet within our families this morning. He knows what they are, and the funny thing is, we know what they are also. But if you don't do it, it's going to turn into maggots. This word of life, I believe, is for today. Tomorrow, no bueno. It's going to stink. It's for today. It's for today. And I know the Lord gave me that. It's for today. It's for today. We had a few deaths. David's grandmother went to be with the Lord yesterday. Amen. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. Amen. Jason's dad went to be with the Lord yesterday. Deborah's brother, I never knew him. Amen. Three deaths took place yesterday. I think we're next. But we never think like that. But it came quick, like the way the Lord's going to come quick. He ain't going to give you time to go do a Bible study. He's going to come quick, like a thief in the night. I was in the room and everybody was just, you know, downcast. You know, Grandma had gone to be with the Lord. She was 90 years old. With the Lord, and I walked in. We had to put the things on around us. I walked in, and I was there with, you know, David was there, and about 15 people from Puerto Rico there. And I'm whispering to myself, Lord, you know, anoint me, Lord, blood, and give me the words. I'm going in the elevator. I'm walking in with Kyle. Amen. I don't know why I took Kyle, but I did. He was the only white guy in there. I was saying in Spanish, el güero aquí ni sabe que estoy hablando de él ahorita. And all the Puerto Ricans were laughing. The only one that wasn't laughing was Kyle. I said, right now this white boy in here, don't even know we're talking about him right now. And all of David's people were laughing and laughing, and Kyle was just like, I was saying in Spanish, this white boy don't even know I'm talking about him right now. But when I walked in that room, everybody was like this. Grandma had died. Mom had died. A sister had died. It was little kids all the way to older people in that room. David hadn't seen his uncles and cousins 12, 15 years. Didn't even know who they were. And I walk in with some blue jeans, Victor Outreach shirt. We were supposed to go bike riding yesterday. As soon as I got down to cut my hair, we got the call that his grandma went to be with the Lord. So I cut my hair, got home, got a car, and went to the hospital. Again, I really don't know why I took Kyle. And everybody was just like this. Everybody was sad. But I walked in with the bread of life. And it was easy to speak knowing that grandma had been serving the Lord. So I translated everything in English and Spanish. I said, today is a celebration. And they were all still looking down. I continued. I gave God's word, what it speaks about to live, to be with Christ, and to die is to be with Christ. And I kept using scripture after scripture. Then I started putting a little humor in there, amen. And I said, David, this Friday night, amen, preached on making decisions, wise decisions. And they were listening. I says, we all got to make decisions. I like to speak to the living, not the dead. If grandma could speak right now, she goes, guys, go home. I'm with the Lord, right? Go home. What are you doing there? Listen to the crazy pastor. Go home. I'm with the Lord right now. And the room was packed out all the way to the door. And there was an older gentleman about my age, or a younger gentleman about my age. Yesterday I had my goatee out to here, but it's nice and shaved right now. I'm going to the Mighty Men of Valor, man. I don't want to look like those big ex gangster guys. I'm going to go clean cut, amen? So there was a guy about older than me. He was all white. He had a cap on. He was just listening as I'm giving the word. And then all of a sudden, one person stood up, another person stood up. I'm not looking. Before I know it, everybody's standing like I'm preaching in there. Everybody's laughing, having fun. Kyle's a witness to that. Even though he didn't know half the, what I was saying, he was able to see the demeanors on everybody's faces had changed because I brought forth the bread of life. Amen. Even to a people I've never seen before from Puerto Rico. And there was the old man there at the door. He was just like this, looking at me, squinting his eyes, like trying to figure me out. And I says, I just really feel that the Lord is ministering to one or two of you right now. I had my fishing line on him. I had really had hooked him. He didn't know it, but he was hooked. Because I'm a fisherman of men. And there was down to little kids. And I said, there's somebody here that needs to make a decision on David's message last night. I was banking off David. I was using every leverage I could. I said, that needs to give their life to the Lord right now. Somebody needs Jesus right now. And the guy that was probably 60 years old at the door, he's the last one that came in that was peeping on me, right? He was checking me out. And he said, todos necesitamos a Cristo. Translating English, we all need Jesus. Right? That was the smartest one-liner, Puerto Rican one-liner I've heard for the whole 15 years I've been here. So let's give a clap offering to the Puerto Ricans here this morning, amen. He had heard, and he was willing to make a decision now. But he wanted to make a decision for everybody in that room, even the little kids that were in there. Because we kicked it off, a little girl raised her hand. She didn't even know what I was saying. She could have. But he says, we all need Jesus. And then I made a joke out of it. I says, okay, remember, guys, I said in Spanish, his name was Pablo. That means Paul, amen? And I says, it's Pablo's fault today why all of you are going to give your life to the Lord today. I said in Spanish, I said in English, they're all cracking up now. Everybody's standing. And everybody said the sinner's prayer, and they're in English and in Spanish. And after that, it was like he had smoked something, man. He was just so happy there, smiling. Elena was there. Oh, David's right there. I only saw Elena, and he started cracking spiritual joke after joke. I says, Pablo got it. He got it. Within a few minutes of me sharing, breaking the bread of life, a Puerto Rican got it. And he knew it was something of such a great need that everyone needed Jesus in that room. And I've been working with some of you all now for I don't want to kill the story. I'm giving truth right now. 5, 10, 15 years now, and you still haven't got it. Pablo kept talking and talking and talking after this. And the other people said, the sister said, you ain't going to keep him quiet now. He ain't going to keep his mouth shut, they said. I said, the Lord has a way of closing one's mouth. I said, Pablo, I pointed to grandma. I said, you might be next. I said, upon that day, he ain't going to have nothing to say. Because he ain't going to have to say anything. Because he made a decision to receive the Lord as his Lord and Savior of his life, the bread of life. We were laughing and laughing. It was like comedy night in there, in the hospital. The joy of the Lord entered. Everybody was happy and everything. We were smiling. And the Lord was able to use grandma with her not having to say a word because she responded to the word of the bread of life that only Jesus can give when one dies. Matthew 4:4, and getting ready to close. But Jesus told him, no, the scripture says, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Spaghetti and meatballs and pulled pork is good. But Jesus said, no. People do not live by spaghetti and meatballs and pulled pork alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. This is every word that comes from the mouth of God right here. 2 Peter 1:4, you want to be on point in the end times we're living in? And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable, that means empowers. Amen. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. I want to put there human wants. We need to take Jesus serious. This was a question mark, maybe a scripture, but I'm going there. Matthew 24:32. We're living in end times. It's serious right now. Matthew 24. The Bible reads, now learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branches bud and its leaves begin to sprout, you know that summer is near. How many know summer is near right now? In the same way, when you see all these things, you can know his return is very near, right at the door. How many know that coming of the Lord is near and he stands, the Bible says, at the door and he knocks? Scripture out of Revelation. I tell you the truth. This generation will not pass from the second until all these things take place. Heaven and earth, I wanted you to get this one, will disappear, but my words, his Bible, but my words will never disappear. See, there's some things that are going to, David's grandma disappeared, but she disappeared to be with the Lord for an eternity. A brand new body that will last forever and ever. However, no one knows the day or hour when these things will happen.
Not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties. I like this translation. That were partying. How many still partying? Raise your hand. In those days, I'm going to paraphrase. In nowadays, before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time of Noah entered his boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. Too late. Two men will be working together in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding flour at the mill, making tortillas, amen? One will be taken and the other left. So you too must keep watch, for you don't know what day your Lord is coming. Understand this. If a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would keep watch and not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. A faithful, sensible servant is one to whom the master can give the responsibility of managing his other household servants and feeding them. If the master returns and finds that the servants have done a good job, there will be a reward. I tell you the truth, the master will put that servant in charge of all he owns. I really feel that I'm in charge of everything God owns right now. I have that capability. But what if the servant is evil and thinks? And the thinking can be seen on the outer, because the wants are taken care of. What if the servant is evil and thinks, my master won't be back for a while? Some of you think you got a while, but this is today's message. And he begins beating the other servants. There's that word, partying and getting drunk. Who's still partying and getting drunk? Like everything's okay. The master, the Bible says, there will return unannounced and unexpected. Worship team. What a time to be saved. What a privilege to be saved. This tissue here, Yasha got caught slipping, amen? There's none here, so if you're going to cry at the altar, you got to go to the corner. I can be in the middle of at the end of a preaching and still catch the little things. I said, that tissue box looks like a tissue box, but it don't got no tissues. I'll go another 30 minutes with, there's people here this day that look like Christians, but have no substance of the Lord in them. Have no word.
The purpose of that tissue box is to have tissues. The purpose of your life and my life is to have the bread of life within, to have Jesus. This is something I can see, so I know it needed tissues. But the Lord sees what's in our hearts this morning. He has started a good work in your life. And He's wanting some of you to get busy in what's needed and not wanted. The wants are our will, our selfishness. Remember, our needs being met is God's will. Means God's love. God's love is the only one that can meet all our needs, is God's love, His word. And too many times the reason our needs are not being met because we don't have His word, His promises within our life. And it's almost even worse knowing His promises and still, it's one thing to break a promise with a man or a woman, but to break it with God, the promise keeper. As we stand here this beautiful day, I need end time soldiers right now. I don't need end time complainers. I'm probably going to have me some pulled pork right after this. I almost feel like I deserve it. We need to take a look into our lives and what we need. And there's some needs here this morning that only the Lord can meet. Even if you were to get that good job, it still wouldn't meet certain needs within your life. Even if you were to get her, after all, she's not able to meet the needs you need met in your life. Even if you were to get that brand new car you've always wanted, that's good. But that brand new car is not going to be able to meet the needs within your life. Only God is able to meet the needs within your life. The people of Israel, they had got out of Egypt, and He knew that He was going to have to become their provision, their source. You can't make it by yourself. I can't make it, even though I got 20 years of Bible in me. If I was to stop, I would not be able to make it. What the Lord is doing in my life right now is like He's adding pages to the Bible, and He's not. It's just He's getting bigger and bigger while I'm getting smaller and smaller. The pages are still the same in that Bible. He didn't throw a few more scriptures in there for me. I'm going to open up the altars. I know what time it is. Really, I do. And it's not the one around your wrist. Amen? I know the times that we're living in right now. And all of us got the capability to receive the call of God upon our lives. But we can't continue to do things the same way and expect to get godly results. It don't happen like that. And He's wanting to do something new here this morning in you. So you can give something new to that person you've been working with. I'm going to open up the altars right now, whatever the song is, guys.